Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to be looking actually at a few passages this morning. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to begin in verse 8. We're going to focus in verse 14. So 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. "Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. In the context of the gospel, in light of what God has done for us, we should not be afraid. We should not be afraid of the stuff that frightens people around us. We're told that suffering may be a part of our daily lives, but that shouldn't frighten us. And that it would be much better for us if, when we suffer, it's because we're doing the right thing instead of because we're doing the wrong thing. You know, I haven't had in my life nearly as much suffering as many other people that I know. And yet, I've found I don't like it when I suffer, even when the reason I'm suffering is because I messed up. In other words, how many of you have ever made a bad decision? Me too. And so when I make a bad decision and as a result I suffer consequences, I just hate that. I mean, I don't really like having my bad decisions pointed out, but if they have to be pointed out, okay, point them out, but I shouldn't have to suffer for them. Just talk to me. Just tell me. Okay? But sometimes I suffer the result of bad decisions that I've made, and I really, really don't like that. But I'll tell you what just makes me angry. What really bugs me is when I'm suffering for doing the right thing. I didn't do something wrong. I made a good decision. I did what God told me to do, and I'm still suffering. Oh, that just really, really gets to me. And God says, no. If you're suffering for doing what's right, that's a blessing. Consider yourself blessed. That's a good thing. You're sharing in the sufferings of Christ. You're being conformed to His likeness. You should rejoice. And I think, well, yes, that's right. Of course, that's my perspective. Yes, that's exactly the way that's what I think too. Can anybody else relate to that? Well, sometimes it becomes harder to make the right decision to do the right thing if we're looking at it and saying, if I do the right thing, I will suffer. And so Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us in that situation, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. And he quotes from an Old Testament passage in the book of Isaiah that we're about to turn to. In Isaiah chapter 8, this is what he's quoting in verse 14 of 1 Peter 3, when he says, even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Look at Isaiah 8:12. Actually, we'll start in verse 11. The Lord spoke to me with His strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of this people. He said, do not call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. And He will be a sanctuary. But for both houses of Israel, He will be a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, He will be a trap and a snare. Many of them will stumble. They will fall and be broken. They will be snared and captured. So Jesus is that rock of offense. He is the one who is the fulfillment of this passage. He's the one that this is pointing to. But let me tell you, this passage is, for Isaiah, very practical stuff. Because God was telling Isaiah what was about to happen, and what was going to happen was going to be really scary stuff. There would be a foreign army of people who did not believe in the God of Israel, a foreign army of people who cursed the God of Israel, and they were going to be used by the God of Israel to punish those who were called by God's name. Now, you don't think that'd be scary? All of a sudden, a foreign army came in here, a bunch of people speaking another language, and ran over our land. And our government collapsed, and our military ran in the other direction. People were stripping out of their uniforms and saying, woohoo, not me. That's what was happening. And that's what God had said would happen. And people literally had hooks put in their flesh and were led away to a distant land. Horrible things happening. God says to Isaiah, you don't be afraid of that stuff. You just need to fear me. You trust in me. You do what I say. You say what I tell you to say. The world around us is filled with people who are terrified of all the wrong things. They're afraid they're not going to be successful. And therefore, they're willing to compromise in order to be successful. They're afraid they won't be popular, they won't be liked, and therefore they will say or do whatever they think they have to say or do in order to be liked. They're afraid they're not going to have fun. And therefore, they will do whatever they think it takes to have fun. They're afraid they might not be rich, and so they will do whatever it takes in order to try and get rich. They're afraid of all the wrong stuff. God says, you fear me. You do what I say. You don't worry about what everybody else thinks, and you don't worry about everything else that's going on. Because the sufferings of this life are not worth comparing to the glory that'll be revealed in us. So you make your focus on doing what God tells you to do, and do not fear what they fear. Do not dread what they dread. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. Do you hear an echo of that in what Jesus then says when he comes as the rock of offense, the stone of stumbling? And he says, do not fear the one who can destroy the body, but rather fear him who, having destroyed the body, can cast the soul into hell. Jesus tells us, in this world you will have tribulation. You will have suffering. But don't be afraid. I've already overcome the world. One of the most remarkable passages to me is from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Take a look at it. Beginning in verse 19, he talks about the need to persevere based on the grace of God and his faithfulness. Look in verse 30 and following. For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Did you hear what he said? When there was persecution going on, these people deliberately, courageously stood side by side with those who were being persecuted. That kind of courage is a rare thing in this world. But then it says something that is even more amazing to me. You joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. Do you know what confiscation means? That means people took it away from them. People came and took away their homes and their belongings because they were followers of Jesus. And it says not just that they patiently endured it or courageously continued on. That would be impressive. It says something even more astounding than that. It says they joyfully accepted it because they knew they had better stuff. They knew that they had riches in Christ that nobody can take away. Nobody can get to the good stuff. Nobody can take it away from you. If you know Jesus Christ, nobody can take what you have. And you need to know that, and you need to rest in that, and you need to realize that you can lose everything else and it really doesn't matter. If your trust is in the Lord God Almighty, then you do not have to be afraid. But as a result of knowing that, we're supposed to live with courage. Jesus says, I've already overcome the world. It's already been accomplished. Everything has already gone as planned. Jesus came and hung on that cross and cried out, Tetelestai, it is finished. The debt is paid. The Bible says everything that was against us was nailed to that cross. Jesus didn't pay some of the bill and say, now we can work out a payment plan for you for the rest of it. He paid the whole thing. The whole thing. It's all been taken care of. Nothing can separate us from His love. Nothing. Nothing. Neither height nor depth, neither angels nor demons, nothing. Neither life nor death can separate us from Him. The love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord is permanently, eternally ours. So what are you worried about?
Folks, we would love for you to come and join us April 27 through 29 here in the Great Smoky Mountains. We're going to be having a marriage retreat for 12 couples. Blue Mountain Mist Country Inn is the romantic location. And you can get more information by going to wvr.org. It'll involve lodging, meals, time to enjoy area attractions, and teaching from God's Word.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
God knows the end from the beginning. And the fact is, you and I are a part of a drama that we didn't script. And God is a great writer. He has a wonderful plan. And His plan for us is to bless us. But sometimes the blessing is that we suffer for doing the right thing. We already read that verse. It said, consider yourself blessed. When this stuff happens that the world thinks is, oh, disaster, oh, catastrophe. God says, no, actually, for my people, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. When I was a kid, one of my favorite stories was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I was always fascinated by the fact that they did the right thing and they still got thrown in the fiery furnace. I mean, I'm thinking, if I'm one of the three Jewish boys and I've said no to the king and I'm going to trust in God no matter what, I'm going to do what God says no matter what, I'm thinking that's a great time for God to like smite the king and maybe put me or one of my buddies on the throne, preferably me. But, I'm thinking, if I was scripting this story, I would not have had the three Jewish boys go into the furnace. I just wouldn't do it. I mean, just getting close enough to the furnace to throw those three guys in was lethal for the soldiers who were throwing them in. It was a really hot fire. 7 times hotter than normal. Oh, my word. That's hot. Yeah. But the three Jewish boys ended up in the fire. That's pretty extreme suffering. Except they weren't burned. The only thing that got burned up in the fire was the ropes. They didn't even smell like smoke when they came out of the fire. Only the ropes were burned up. Folks, when God puts his children through suffering, it's to set us free from what binds us. And I want you to know that if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, there's not just a risk of suffering, there is a guarantee of suffering. God has already told us that it will be costly for us to follow him and that in this life we will have tribulation. It's promised by God, and God keeps his promises, so you can bank on it. If you do the right thing, it will cost you. Do not make your decisions on the basis of whether or not it's going to hurt, whether or not it will cause suffering in your life. If you say, well, I can't do that because that would make me unpopular, well, that's not a reason not to do it. Well, I can't do that because that would cause me to have a huge loss financially. Well, that's not a reason not to do it. Well, but I can't do that because that could cost me my job. Well, that's not a reason not to do it. Well, I can't do that because I could lose my home. That's not a reason not to do it. There is only one reason not to do it, and that is I can't do that because that would displease the Lord. I can't do that because that would bring reproach on his name. I want to do the will of God. Well, if you want to do the will of God, it's going to cost. You're going to suffer. It's guaranteed. But folks, that's not a reason to be afraid, because God has promised, God has guaranteed that victory over this world has already been accomplished. Jesus said, I've already overcome the world. I've already overcome the world. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world has conquered. Do you remember in the book of Revelation when John is told the lion of the tribe of Judah has overcome, and he looks to see the lion, and it's a lamb looking as if it's been slain? That's our Jesus. By his willingness to lay down his life in obedience to the Father, he overcame for us. His victory is now our victory. And so whatever comes, we don't have to be afraid. I was just a little boy living in Charlotte, North Carolina. And the news was telling us that the Soviets were putting missiles in Cuba, and that if they were to launch a strike against the U.S., they could create death and destruction. And they showed on the map, and it went all the way up, including Charlotte, North Carolina. And I said, Dad, what would we do? And Dad said, well, I think we'd probably have a word of prayer and keep on doing what we've been doing. You see, if you're ready to meet God, if you're looking forward to it, then you don't fear what the world fears. God tells us not just, you don't have to be afraid. He says, do not fear what the world fears. Because if you do, you're going to live the wrong kind of life. You're going to have the wrong priorities. You're going to make bad decisions over and over and over again. You're going to do the stupid thing that the world does. You're going to try and save your life, and as a consequence, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for Jesus' sake, you will find it. So he doesn't just say, you don't have to be afraid. He says, do not fear what they fear. Do not be in dread of it. Instead, fear the Lord. Be determined to do his bidding. Be eager to do what God wants. And if you will live that way, you will live with confidence. You will live with joy, because there isn't anything this world can do to you that you have to be afraid of.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.